Ramadan was blessed. Of course, as with everyone, the blessed and the bewitched alike, he didn't always feel the pleasures of being his natural divine self. Indeed, he would sometimes become tempestuous and unruly, losing himself and the ability to sense his great fortune even to be alive. And he would stomp around his grandmother's house, gritting his teeth and growling like a madman, or rather like a mad little boy, because at the age of 5, say, for the purposes of introduction and with the scrawniness that made some refer to him as skinny as a rail, he couldn't really quite pull off madman. The sight or just the sound of Ramadan tearing through her house at 1216 St. Philip Street in the Tremé neighborhood of New Orleans never failed to crack his grandmother up. "My little bull," an amused Mama June mumbled to herself whenever she detected the telltale signs of one of his tantrums beginning in the front room. His pitter-pattering and bovine grunts would echo down the hall to her in the kitchen, and she would snatch a dish rag from her shoulder, extend it in a flapping motion, and wait for the little raging Ramadan to enter the room where she stood, crouched, anticipating his charge. The image of a laughing Mama June waving her dirty towel never failed to seize the child's attention and refocus his mind, like music or motion pictures. That vision of her, combined with the intoxicating smells of whatever she was cooking and the warmth radiating from the stove, would stop him in his manic tracks, returning him to himself. He would again relish the comfort of breathing normally, not snorting, not huffing, his madness becoming in an instant play, and the bone-deep longing that fueled his fury would manifest as farce. He would scuff his little Nikes backwards on the old hardwood floor, preparing his advance, wiggle his index finger horns at his temples, comically disregarding the rigidity of horns, and tilt his head down so that when he made his cushioned leap into Mama June's apron torso, he could nestle his neck into the side of her ample belly. She would hug his waist and leverage his forward momentum into an upside-down flip, ending with Ramadan's feet pedaling before her eyes. The vibrations of his sudden, riotous laughter tickling her into a heightened state of amusement as well. Not exactly Abbott and Costello, perhaps. But their interaction had for the players, who were their own audience, the strange allure of low-budget regional theater. Sincere entertainment for a limited constituency. Imagine the quaint production of a classic drama succumbing to too much sentimentality, or being played somewhere in the suburb of a suburb, unintentionally for laughs. Not great. Wouldn't travel. But given the quality of the source material, satisfying nonetheless. If Ramadan's Aunt Clarissa or any of his cousins were around to witness the scene, and they often were because they lived on the other side of Mama June's shotgun double and came sniffing and foraging next door anytime they smelled her cooking or wanted to borrow some money, their anxieties would be relieved when the dish rag pantomime began, for secretly, they felt threatened by Ramadan and his moody ways. In such moments, their envy, born of their understanding his place of privilege in Mama June's heart, would seethe with a bit less passion. They sensed, quite reasonably, these relatives, these rivals for Mama June's affection, and the benefits thereof, that rooted in Ramadan's temperamental nature was a power, a will far superior to their own, and that his bullishness, were it ever to flourish into its most potent form, a true and virtuous virility, might somehow be employed to destroy them. That they implicitly understood there was something in them that might warrant destruction could be chalked up to the uncanny ability most folks have, without any specialized training, mind you, to assess accurately their worth, or worthlessness for that matter, the evidence of a persistent white noise of truth. Their fear of Ramadan explained why at every turn they stressed the slightness of his form, nudging him about his boniness, as if accentuating this perceived weakness could truly prevent his evolution toward strength and maturity. For it was they, his very kin, whom he loved in spite of their wariness of him, who were the ones far more so than the random chubby playground pal or the prematurely muscled schoolmate who called Ramadan turning a tease into a taunt, skinny as a rail.